Well, again, we say happy Father's Day to all our fathers and our father figures out there. And we very much pray it's a blessed day for you all. And because it is Father's Day, I did want to specifically address and speak to our men and our fathers here today in this room, but also back watching online as well. And in fact, what I'm going to speak about today will speak to all of us. I hope and I believe it will speak to each and every one of us, whether we're fathers or men or not. With that in mind, I want to bring us back to our men's breakfast last year, August. It's hard to believe it's been 1 year since we had this men's breakfast. But for our men that were at that men's breakfast, you would remember that we had Andrew Scipione, the former police commissioner, come and speak to us on that day. And I wish we could just get him back and maybe rerun that video we spoke about, because it was such an encouraging word he had for us on that particular day. But you may remember that Andrew spoke about an organization called the Fathering Project, if you just want to bring that up there, Sam. The Fathering Project is a great organization, does some great work across our communities, across Australia, very much equipping and empowering men to be the best fathers they can possibly be. And I encourage us, our dads and those who are fathers, to look their website up, because they've got some great resources, some great articles, podcasts to equip us and to empower us to be godly men definitely godly men. It's not an explicitly Christian organization, although it is run very much by a lot of Christians, but has a lot of great material they encourage us to get a part of, and hopefully we can partner with them down the track. But the Fathering Project also partner with another organization called the National Fatherhood Initiative. And this is an organization in the United States. But one of the contributors, Larry Schooler, actually wrote an article that I came across during the week, which was very intriguing, very insightful, particularly for myself as a father, and something I want to encourage all our dads to do. And this man, Larry Schooler, he realized he'd been very busy. So busy, in fact, that he had sort of not been as attentive to his children, his two sons, as he would have liked to. And so he realized he needed a vacation, as he said, being American, needed a holiday. So he wrote in his diary, scheduled in some time for leave. He scheduled in there to take a vacation or a holiday. But again, realizing that he hadn't been so intentional with his sons, he actually went back to his diary and he crossed those words out, vacation. And instead, he wrote the words, daddy camp. And this is what he said. This is what he aimed to do at this daddy camp. I detailed a set of camp rules and activities for the next 3 days. Hours of operation were 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I wrote a one long aspirational camp chant. We love daddy camp because we have fun. I had no idea what to expect, but I figured I would at least learn something and feel a bit more essential, at least to our sons. Now, this experience that Larry Schooler had actually taught him a lot of things about being a father and a lot of things about life. Who would have thought? When we schedule this sort of time away and intentional time, we learn some amazing things. And this is what he learned. Schedules are nice, but so are unscheduled periods. Presence matters most. Being present with your children, being present with one another in relationship. Undivided attention matters. You get back more than you give. Has anyone found those fathers? I definitely have. When you're intentional and you sow into your children, you actually get more back than what you give. I love this one. I'm not a young man anymore. Who can relate to that, fathers? I can. With three young children. There's no place in my world for perfectionism. But the last thing he states is the one thing I want to touch on here today, which I believe speaks to the heart of men and where they find their identity. He says, my kids will barely remember or care about what I did for a living, but they will vividly remember and care about what I did as their father. I find in life that men in particular, fathers in particular, our identity can be so easily wrapped up in what we do for a living. Amen? Will that be fair to say? I believe that we can find our identity in money, how much we earn. And this is sown into us from a very young age. We need to be able to provide for our families. Again, as we've spoken out before, these are all good things, but if they are our identity, then they will hold us back from being the people that God has created us to be. Why do I think this? Because I know within my own life that this is something I've struggled with. From time to time in the past, this is something that I have gone to find my identity. But once again, if this is you, this will have a detrimental effect on how we are able to function as husbands, as fathers, as men, godly men. Not just for our men, but each and every one of us. If our identity is found in these things, it will have detrimental effects on how we live life. Because what we do is, if our identity is found in these things, is that we start to pursue riches and wealth. We pursue the perfect career, and we do this until we reach the level of satisfaction that we are yearning for, but the reality is you're never going to reach it. Amen. And this is the whole message of, in many ways, the book of Ecclesiastes. This is what Solomon says: we will never find contentment in these things. This is what he says in chapters, in particular, chapters 5 and 6. You will never be content if your ultimate goal and purpose is to strive after riches and wealth. You'll continue to strive for more and more because you will never be satisfied. You'll be never content with what you have. The key, I believe, is not to allow ourselves to be consumed with riches, wealth, and the perfect career, but instead be content with all that God has given us. Whether that is our families, the house that we live in, the job that we have, we need to learn to be content with these things because there is power in being content. Amen? That's the overarching theme of today's message, is that there is power in being content. And this very much encapsulates what King Solomon, again, is seeking to say here. For the key to this message of chapters 5 and 6 is to be content with what we have and not strive after riches and wealth. But how often do we fall into that trap? The trap of pursuing material gain. Once again, Solomon comes to the realization that this is a meaningless pursuit that amounts to nothing. Again, this series in Ecclesiastes, Life Under the Sun, has helped us to focus on what really matters in life. And the season we are in has helped us to focus on what really matters in life. Amen. It's allowed our lives to be stripped back so we can focus on our children and our families. And if I was to ask our fathers, our men here today, does your children, your families, your relationships matter more than your career and how much money you earn? My guess in the room today and online is that your fathers, our men, would say absolutely they are. But when we scan over society as well, is that reflected in our actions? My inclination is that we spend more time, or men generally spend more time at work, focusing on their careers than they do with their own families, their own children. You know, I was speaking to Anthony Lax, who we've been praying for. I don't have his permission to share this story, but hopefully he doesn't mind. But Anthony has recently gone back to work. He works for the Macquarie Bank. And he said this in our equip group one night a few weeks back. We've been looking at the coronavirus situation and how we very much need to go through a process of grieving, part of the process of grieving and processing what's going on. And our conversation, again, naturally morphed into what matters in life. And he realized, and since going back to work, a lot of his colleagues have made the realization that what they did before coronavirus in terms of traveling and how much time they poured into their careers, it ultimately wasn't sustainable. It wasn't practical. And they've since realized that they don't want to go back to that way of life when this is all said and done. I think this is the realization that we too need to come to. This is what Solomon is getting at, that there is more that matters in life than riches and wealth. And he implores us once again to consider all that we have been given, no matter how little in the eyes of the society or how great, as a gift from God. Because this ultimately should therefore lead us, I believe, first and foremost, lead us to give more away. which is my first point this morning. This should ultimately lead us to give more away. If you want to go to that next slide there, thanks. Thanks, Sam. We should seek to practice the art of generosity in all that we have. Our heart should be one of generosity. We looked at this earlier in the year, and we're not just speaking here about money. We're speaking about our talents, our gifts, our abilities, all that God has given us, our love, our affections. We need to be more generous. We need to be harvesting this heart of generosity, this posture of generosity in our lives. And this starts again from being content with what we have, from seeing everything that we have been given as a gift from the Lord Most High, because I believe the very thing that makes us hold on to everything, the very thing that makes us hold on to everything is when our identity is in these things, amen? When our identity is in our careers and our wealth and trying to pursue it more, we become more selfish. And we hold on to these things as though they are ours and they belong to us. And that's my privilege, right, and responsibility. I've earned it. Therefore, I use it how I please. And what Solomon is advertently saying, I believe, in these two chapters is don't find your identity in these things. Don't find your identity in wealth and riches, in your career, how big your house is, how much money you earn. And once again this morning, I believe this is such a big thing for men, because I've experienced it in my life, because when they don't have those things, when their career is taken out from underneath them, when they lose their jobs, as we've seen in society at the moment, they have no sense of purpose. They have no sense of identity, and this leads to tragic things. This is an issue in society, and Solomon's warning to all of us is, again, is not to make your identity in these things. Don't pursue them. There are much bigger things, far greater things, far more meaningful things in life that do actually matter. There are more things that can make a man or a woman or a child than what we do for a career. Again, how much money we earn, how big our houses are. First and foremost this morning, again, we need to be finding our identity, not in the ways of this world, but in Jesus Christ. I am who you say that I am, Jesus. I'm not who the world tells me I need to be. But why do you think we make such a big deal about these things? I was going to ask you guys, but I don't think it's wise to be yelling things out at this present time. I don't know. You can nod along, had a few thoughts about this. But I believe that we pursue this and make a big deal about riches and material wealth is because we enjoy the feeling it gives us. It gives us that hit of satisfaction, although fleeting, doesn't it? When we go to the shops and we go buy that new phone or that new handbag, oh, that felt good. It's only fleeting. That's what Solomon says earlier on the chapter, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. I find it quite amazing that this was written thousands of years ago, and what applied to people back then still applies to us today, amen? Because we're humans. It's our human nature, our human inclination. First of all, it's the feeling we get. It gives us a sense of satisfaction. Nod your head along to this one. I believe we pursue it because of the status it gives us in society. Yeah? We pursue it because we gain honor and respect among our peers. But when we take a moment to stop and to reflect on some of these things, again, this is why silence is so important. Who knew you could worship in silence, eh? Hopefully you found that as moving and as encouraging as I did. But as we stop to be still and to reflect on these things, ultimately they reveal to us how selfish our hearts really are, yeah? Because all of these reasons, I don't know if you realize, it's all me-focused. It's about the individual. It's about my feelings, my satisfaction, my honor and privilege, my status within society. But I don't know if you've realized this, but the way of Christ is so radically different, amen? He has demonstrated, he has provided us with a radical way of life that we all ought to strive after. This is what he says in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This verse encapsulates why Jesus came. This verse encapsulates what Christ is all about, what the kingdom of God is all about. For this is ultimately the example, particularly for our fathers and men here today, that we are to provide to this world. Amen. This is the example that we ought to be providing for our children. And not just men, but each and every one of us. This applies to all of us, whether we are women or children. This is the example we are to provide to the world. One of servanthood, putting others first. Love God, love your neighbor. But wisdom says, and I think this is important to note, don't be reckless about it. God doesn't say just give all your money away, be reckless and unwise about it. We do need to put boundaries in place, particularly with our time, otherwise we burn out. Jesus did give of himself, but he found times again, as we spoke about a number of weeks ago, to be still before God, to focus on his self-care, his soul care. Again, he's the ultimate model of life that we need to be striving after. We need to be looking at him in order about how we go about this, putting boundaries in place, not being reckless about giving away our time, wealth, and finances. We need to be wise, but generous. I was speaking to someone just recently also about someone who recently started on the JobKeeper payment. And I was really encouraged, honestly, about what they said, because as it is for many in our society at the moment, a lot of them are earning more than what they previously earned on the JobKeeper payment. And again, I was heartened by what she said, because she said to me, it's a lot of money that I'm receiving, but I don't care. I want the government to give me more and more, not because I want to spend it, not because I want to invest it, because I want to give it away more and more. I want to be a blessing to others more and more. Is that not the heart that we need to harvest? Man, I was encouraged by that. That's the heart that we need to harvest. That's the kind of attitude that brings Christ joy. It's the kind of heart and attitude that brings, it pleases God, it glorifies God. Don't find your identity in wealth and riches. It will only make us selfish. Find your identity in Christ, because that will make you selfless. If you find your identity in the ways of this world, it will only make you selfish. If you find your identity more and more in Christ, as you allow him to transform you by the power of his Holy Spirit, you will find yourself becoming more and more selfless. That is what we are striving after. And this is what Solomon says in verse 19 and 20. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. Are you content with what you have? Or as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, are you striving for bigger and better? Is that your ultimate pursuit in life? In another version of Matthew's gospel, this is what Jesus says. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You cannot worship both God and money. Seeing what we have in this way as a gift from God, it should lead us to give more away. And second of all, it should inspire us to use what we have to glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. We should use what we have to glorify our God with our lives. Again, as we've been looking at for so long now, we need to live our lives as living sacrifices. Everything we do and say should be an offering of worship. And this is what Colossians 3:1-3 says. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then in verse 23-24, this is the key part. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Again, everything that we say and do, everything that we own should be used to glorify that end, glorify God. And elsewhere, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, they will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If each one must give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When your identity is in Christ and not in the world, you automatically become generous. It starts to come out of you. When your identity is in Christ and not in the world, everything that you own and everything you do, your sole purpose is to glorify God. And you do it with joy. You do it cheerfully. That's where we need to be heading, guys. And Solomon says, we cannot take anything with us, so let us ultimately use it all to honor God and bring him glory. For those who cheerfully use what God has given them, they will be honoring the giver of all good gifts, the giver of all good things, ultimately God the Father. This is ultimately what our life should be about. Amen. Do we agree, or am I just waffling on up here? This is what our lives should be ultimately seeking to be about. And again, to our fathers and to our men here this morning, what I want to encourage us all with today as we finish up is this, that you, each and every one of us, each and every one of you, not just men and fathers, but also women, have been given the God-given potential to impact people's lives. Amen? Do we believe that? Let me tell you this, each and every one of you in today, this room, but also online, no one has been equipped with that which God has equipped you with. No one in this room has been given the same gifts, abilities, talents, personality, heart that God has wired each and every one of you with. And I think our men and our fathers need to hear that today because they don't believe that sometimes. You do have the potential in you, not just to impact other people in this room, our church community, but our local community as well. And ultimately, that comes down to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point is, you have a choice. I have a choice. To invest what we have been given with wisely or not. You and I have the opportunity to inspire people, to make Jesus known. It's up to us whether we invest wisely or not. But the key to it all, again, is finding our identity in Christ, amen? Because when we find our identity in Christ, that ultimately spurs us on. It mobilizes us and should lead to us ultimately giving more and more away. And secondly, seeking to inspire, or it should inspire us to use what we have to glorify our God in heaven. Let's pray that that would be the case here today and forevermore. Well, Father God, as we reflect on this word from the book of Ecclesiastes, we again reflect upon and submit to you our desires at times to blend in with society, to conform to the ways of this world and to pursue riches and wealth. Lord, I acknowledge in my life that I've done that and still struggle with it from time to time. Lord, help us, Lord God, not to find our identity in these things, in the ways of the world, but ultimately in you, Lord God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And Lord, that requires us being intentional. It requires us spending time with you, meditating on your word. So I pray for not just our men and our fathers here today, but all of us, that we would be intentional about the time that we spend with you, that you may mold us, that you may transform us, that you may continue to do a mighty work in our lives. Father God, as we go into our days and our weeks, may we be constantly reminded of the reality that we need to find our identity in you. And we pray this all in your Son's mighty and wonderful name. Amen.